Okay, when did you first come to Lakewood? I mean, when did you first hear of Rabban?
When did I what?
First hear about Rabban, or see him.
I never was there to learn Lakewood, but I came to Rabban. The first time I saw him was in RJJ, because when Rabban used to come to RJJ to say Sheikh Kholi. So that was the first time was in 1958, and the next time was in 1959. Then I saw him when I went to Lakewood for Rosh Hashanah. I went to Lakewood for Rosh Hashanah when I was in RJJ. I went to Rosh Hashanah to Lakewood in 1958.
Yeah.
And again in 59.
Okay, what were those experiences like? What do you remember from them?
Nothing, except that I saw in the Baron some types of malach that sang a shtickle Torah on Masechtas Nedarim, a mile a minute, and I was zechet to see Gadlus HaTorah. I was zechet to see that someday when I grow up, I want to be like that man.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand. I wasn't zechet to understand what he was talking about. He was speaking so fast. I wasn't a big enough Talmud Chacham to have any idea what he was saying. And I didn't know the Ma'amar Kaimis before he said the Shia. But I was zechet to see that the delivery and the way he said it with his eyes twinkling. And there was a Rosh Hashiva in RJJ of Shai Shimonovitz.
He used to be in Lakewood.
Yeah, he lived in Lakewood, the Sefer by Vershleiser.
Right.
But anyway, he was a big Talmud Chacham, and he was considered, even though he didn't have the highest Shia, remember, the Kravitz was above him, or Shavshik was above him, or Zaylevsky was above him, he had the Masifta, they called him Masifta 6.
Uh-huh.
But he was in the yeshiva at Gehesen, that he was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the yeshiva. Because he was the duo from the Olam HaYeshivas, and before the Muhammad, he liked in Kletzk, and he liked in Barabal Ben, he liked in Radin, and he was considered like a Psagoyan.
Right.
But he didn't have much access to Talmidim, that he didn't relate to the Talmidim. He was, so he asked Rabban Akash in Mittenshire.
Yeah.
Rabban absolutely ripped his head off him. Ripped him up to pieces, and that was the end of him.
Uh-huh.
And I was so inspired that Rabban just like looked at him and was like that, like he was trying to take away the rip off, like he was trying to cut off Rabban's hand.
Uh-huh.
Like if somebody tries to cut your hand off, how you fight to save your hand.
Right.
Rabban just looked at him and just ripped him to pieces. And Shai was quiet, and that was the end of that.
Uh-huh.
That was the only kasha in the whole shiur.
Uh-huh.
Then I saw Rabban at an asifa, which he called in 1956.
So Viskarov?
Viskarov, when he was Mavaza Maimon.
Uh-huh.
Maimon was Mavaza Viskarov.
Yeah.
So it was at that asifa. It was in the Attorney Street Shul on the east side.
Yeah.
And I went to that asifa, like the whole oil of my yeshivas, which is about 1/100th the size it is today. And the whole yeshiva world came, which was a small world then.
That was for RJJ.
No, not the whole yeshiva world came to Radah.
You came from RJJ.
I walked over from RJJ. It was a 5 minute walk.
I remember that.
And he spoke in the to Biskarov.
You're right.
And I again, wasn't sure to understand the one word, Kamat. But I heard, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 words, and then the word Torah.
Okay.
Then 5, 6, 7, 8, Torah. 9, 10, 11, 12, Torah.
Uh-huh.
And I heard like 3 words, the word Torah, another 3 words, Torah. And even as a kid, I was a sophomore in high school,
uh-huh.
The word, when Rabban said Torah, when his hands, when he got very upset, he would put his two thumbs between his hands.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you see that in the picture.
Uh-huh.
His two thumbs, that was the fighting position.
Yeah.
And his eyes would start twinkling. I could literally light a cigarette.
Yeah.
And his face would get red like a beet.
Yeah.
And he was screaming, and I would hear Torah. And I can tell you, I've been in Kassidashi and that's how Baba Mice is, and like, when you said the word Torah, it went through me like a chetz.
Uh-huh.
And then many years later, when I was in Lakewood for Pesach, again, the same experience. Whenever he said the word Torah, I'm sure you may have heard this from other people.
Yeah.
When he said the word Torah, he didn't know what the 3 words before and the 3 words after to make a difference. But when he said Torah, and you heard him say it, the word Torah, it had some type of metaphysical type of effect on you, which was incredible.
Uh-huh.
He went through like a chesed, was a chesed to him, say Torah.
Uh-huh.
And I remember as a kid, I went away saying, boy, that man must be some type of malach. Because whenever he said Torah, I mean, he had Torah 5,000 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, but it was such an experience. I didn't know clue what he was talking about. I didn't know you said something like a Rav Shemerchel, Kvoide Kvoide Merchel, dying, you know, the whole situation.
Well, that's on tape, that
thing, yeah, yeah. But I remember how he was screaming for Briskerov's COVID. So I couldn't tell you, you know, he said this, and that.
Right.
But I remember I was as soon as spoil, hell, he's a Yidden American, you know, and as a kid, you know, sophomore in high school.
Right.
And he stands and makes a seat for the Briskerov in America, mm-hmm. because Maimon was resolved on his COVID. I don't know exactly what Maimon did or what Maimon said on Briskerov. I don't know clue what he said. But Maimon, that case in Mizrahi circles, in the Tzianisha circles, Hagoyse Talmud Chacham. And I also got the feeling Obama was speaking about him like he was a Puerto Rican.
Right, I remember.
I sort of got the feeling like a piece of dirt. And Maimon, later in life, I found out Maimon was at Gaysen from the Gaysen that taught me the Chumah by Yenevel.
Right.
And he had Gaysen, Machaba from Sorum, and Adas, and Yodei Yosefim. And then I thought back, boy, I remember when I was a kid and I hear Obama spoke about Obama speaking about some Puerto Rican or some guy, some Shagets. So that was an experience. Then I was there from. Then I went to the MIA when I graduated RGA, and I went to the MIA, and I went to the MIA in 1958, and I went to the MIA to go for 2 years to have a shuvudni in the MIA, with the understanding that after 2 years I would go to Lakewood, because I felt I was too young to go to Lakewood. I went there a blotchy, and shuvudni with Gates and the best blotchy in America. So I went there with shuvudni, and there were things that ended up that way. In those 2 years, I started learning b'chavusim with the shuvudni, and I learned the b'chavusim until I left St. Louis in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up staying in the MIA. That was it. I got married and I stayed in the MIA. I had 9 years in Cairo and then I went to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of my going to Cairo. But I always had tremendous chalishas adas that I didn't go to Lakewood. Mm-hmm. So I used to go to Lakewood. I used to pick myself off from the MIA. I used to go to Lakewood on Mishchaydish Nisan,
when
his mom was over, and stayed there till Mishchaydish year. 30 days. And I did it three times. I did it in 1960, 61, and the year Rabaram was Niftar.
To be able to see to sit
and to gaze at Rabaram for 30 days straight just to be mistakel at him. Just to watch every move. Rabaram slept in the yeshiva and ate in the yeshiva, and his office was in the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old building that the yeshiva building was on 6th and Forest, and the dining room building was up on by where it is now, where the Beis Medrash is now.
I think the yeshiva was on 7th and Forest.
The building was on we're in 6th of Oz, the car, 7th of Oz,
right.
And he used to walk up the block to the dining room.
Right.
And that block, all the way up the block, up Forest, to the next block, the park, private way.
Yeah, right.
And that's where the dining room was. That's where Baron's office was right outside the dining room. Because I was outside the Beis Medrash on 7th and Forest.
Yeah.
And the dining room was a dining room. There was a dormitory upstairs, and there was offices. And Baron ate with the Bacham.
Right.
He ate with the Bacham. He slept with the Bacham. As Leiser Stefanski was his roommate.
Right.
When the rabbits used to come for Shabbos, Leiser Stefanski used to move out. And Baron's rabbits slept in Leiser Stefanski's bed. And Baron used the bathroom hall that everybody else used.
Uh-huh.
And so there's repetitions. I was unbelievable the way Baron lived. His love for Bacham. And there's no story like that by any. He lived with the Bacham. And I can tell you one thing, his Ava for B'nai Torah was legendary.
Yeah.
There's nobody I ever saw in my life that had such an Ava for B'nai Torah.
Uh-huh.
Such a love for B'nai. He had an unbelievable Ava for B'nai Torah. Anyway, so I was there those 3 years Pesach by him. And I was in those years, the yeshiva was small. I was left, there's only 70 Bacham yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
And everybody used to go home for Pesach. And the only ones who stayed were the Moroccans who couldn't go home. And people from South America, like he was there, Goldschmidt was there.
Right.
He had just come, he was in medical screen, he had just come to Lakewood those years. And there was one guy from South America, one guy from here. And there was like all together, Sacha called less than 20 Bacham there.
Yeah.
Ali Artias from Morocco and different people who couldn't go home. And I was one of them, and I was the outsider. I was the kid from the MIA, so they pushed me in the back. I couldn't sit near Rabaron.
Uh-huh.
Rabaron was saying mices and mices and mices, and Rabaron would say over Pesach literally hundreds of mices.
Yeah.
He was marach in the Suda, the Yontov Suda in the morning. He would say till 2, 3 o'clock after the Suda.
Yeah.
And they would get her to come around him and say, well, mices would be so, the Odika mices would be so Salanta, Merle Diskin.
Yeah.
He spoke of Velta, Merle Diskin, and be so Salanta. And he had the same people. And in fact, by the third year, I'd heard already most of the mices already before.
Uh-huh.
And Rabban was, first says, Peshitta wanted such mices that should be Niklat in the Bacham's cup.
Uh-huh.
myself covered a Torah, Mesiris Nevesh for Torah. And there was no such thing as a Maisa like Avraham told it.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm in my 60s, and I've heard Maisa from Gedolim telling over Maisa. And in my life, I never heard anybody say over Maisa, the Geshmak is Avraham.
Uh-huh.
Even though, again, I wasn't sitting up front, I was sitting behind it, most of the Bochum. I couldn't push my way up to write to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't hear every word. And I was like the kid from the mayor, you know. But yet, Avraham, when he would say over Maisa, It was different than ever. His eyes would be twinkling, and he got the feeling he was living through the Maisa again. He was reliving the Maisa. He said it with such charisma. You know, the word charisma, a trefe of art. But Rabban, if there's a person that had charisma, quote unquote, Rabban had charisma. He was a murder charismatic person.
Uh-huh.
And he would say it twinkling, and if there's something funny, the Maisa would seem to make a giggle.
Uh-huh.
And he would say it with such a geschmack, with his hands flying and his face red and his fingers again in that position. And there were hundreds and hundreds of mice that Rabban said that were unbelievable, that had such a spoil. I lived from that month till the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The next 12 months was the chizik that I had from that month.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just sit and watch him and gaze at him, mistakel at him, and his eyes twinkling, and like you saw Malach, you were watching a Malach for 30 days. And these would, and they would be mices and mices, he would say till 2, 3 o'clock. And it was an experience to be by the Seder and to watch him. And
you
have to
be by the Seder.
He had to say it in yeshiva.
I want to ask you a question. I used to go to Rav Schneider. Rav Schneider was there, right?
Rav Schneider used to come after he finished the Seder.
Do you remember?
Do
you remember?
Coming around 11, 12 o'clock.
I'll ask you a question. I used to go to him. Also, after my Seder, I used to go to Rav Schneider. He used to sing a song in Russian. Remember that? Echad Miyadeh in Russian?
Yeah, Rav Schneider didn't sing that song.
But Rav Schneider did.
Yeah,
you remember it?
I was never Rav Schneider.
Well, no, he didn't say it. I mean, he would...
Rav Schneider used to come to Rav and say that he finished his Seder.
Uh-huh.
He used to walk at like 12:30, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then Rav used to finish Seder around 2:30.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't makban on the Kazayas and these type of Zachen, you know, before Chatzayas, he wasn't makban on these Zachen.
Wasn't makban before Chatzayas?
No.
Uh-huh.
And he was married from the Seder.
That's interesting.
By Shulchan Aruch, he would sit by Shulchan Aruch before he would start benching and say, Maisis by Shulchan Aruch.
Before the Afikoman.
Yeah, before the Afikoman would say, well, Maisis at the table as he was eating.
Uh-huh.
And his eating was always the same position. He would have a sefer on the table.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was a Mishabua, believe it or not. Mishabua was never Lazazim at the Mishabua. But I remember one year he took a sefer from Mitzel Petersburg, Mitzel Blaser, Pri Yitzchok. She was Pri Yitzchok from Mitzel Blaser, Talmud from Resource Lanta.
Chayrik
Shem, he finished the entire sefer from cover to cover over Pesach. He just kept turning the pages, unbelievable, and learned the whole sefer.
Uh-huh.
And he would eat, he would have a fork in one hand, dig into the food, and the other hand turned the pages of the sefer.
Uh-huh.
He always had a sefer in front of him. If he'd see something interesting in the Yitzchak, or he'd see something in the Mishnah Brewer or something, he'd give out like a clap, three claps on the table.
Yeah.
And he'd tell over the island what was bothering Makasha, Teretz.
Do you remember anything that he said over from the Mishnah Brewer?
No, I can't, because first of all, it was so fast.
Uh-huh.
And second of all, I didn't understand a lot of things he was saying.
Uh-huh.
And he would stop in the middle of a pre-Yitzchak and then catch him somewhere, like in Tshuva Lamed Vav, that he's in the middle of the Tshuva, and he would start telling the other one over the Kasha and the Teretz was in Shred. Nobody was holding by the Sugya. It was a Luish kite. So I used to think, what is the Rav think? Because Rav think the other one stands what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
He's in the middle of a Tshuva. But then I realized as I got older that Rav was Badafka doing that.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to advise the Olim Gavla Satara.
Uh-huh.
He was trying, he understood God's good, Rav understood the world better than anybody else.
Right.
So it seemed like something like a very unpractical thing, like he's in the middle of a tshuva, and he stops over the tshuva, goes as with the hand, bang, 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 and starts telling over his kasha on the pre-Yitzchak, on the Gemara, and Kachim, and thus. But it was part of Gavla Satara. It was part of Gavla Satara.
It wasn't shtick.
No.
It was he was trying to get something across.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
One thing I can tell you right off the top. If there was ever a person who had absolutely no shtick, I was the most normal person. One of the things I was so disposed from Baron, here's the Gavla Ador, the Manag Ador, the Mavitz Torah Ador, the everything Ador. And then Ilu Yotzim, a Rizdik Ilu, Chaim Oysel on the Baron, Azar Ilu, the Litter Nitgad Fund, the Zeit for Bichweg.
That's
what the Chaim Oysel on the Baron.
That's interesting.
Very, very young. Chaim Oysel on them. So anyway, Bikitsa, he hasn't mentioned Ilu Yotzim, a mensch was a Koyin and a Manig and a Malachal Kimi Suat, a Brenton and Torah, like a Sefer Torah. was the most normal person in the world. He was a murdic gnome. He didn't make any shtick smell, the kedusha smell, like you see with Manazeh.
Yeah.
There was no shtick, no smell, the kedusha, no Yerusha shtick. He was a very, very, very normal person.
Mm-hmm.
The way he spoke to people, the way he handled the people. He used to, when he ate, and he like speared the food with the fork,
yeah,
and he had the other hand in the sefer,
yeah,
you would see that he was enjoying the food.
Uh-huh.
He didn't hide it. That he said, oof, you saw some geschmack from the chicken. And yeah, like, what's food? Food's nothing. You saw the apples. You saw the compote. He enjoyed the compote.
Yeah.
And you saw he was enjoying the soup. And there was, at that time, there was a woman, she was the cook, Mrs. Berman.
Right.
It was not that money. He let her have a television in her room. Right. The man was an unbelievable person. He was the most unrealistic person and the most realistic person, all in one.
Yeah.
And he would call her in and he'd say, bring Mrs. Berman from the kitchen. And she would come in from the kitchen. And he'd say, ah, Mrs. Berman, the tzimus has came with us, I got the tzimus, like, molly come hand.
Uh-huh.
And he'd like say, like, what did you put in this time?
he was aware of things.
Oh, was he aware? Oh. And he was like, he'd say, oh, the chicks, it's molly come.
Uh-huh.
And he'd call her in and like, and then say, oh, Mrs. Berman, the hind is super good. I think she doesn't geschmack and haste and good.
It wasn't chanis, in other words.
No. He enjoyed it. And he first was the macaron amana.
Yeah.
And secondly, he enjoyed the food. He was a murdic mensch. He was a felt for people.
Uh-huh.
And he was murdic. I was so despoiled every year from his murdic normalkeit. He was a very normal mensch.
Uh-huh.
The way he spoke to people. I mean, he couldn't help. The shtick was because he has a god like that, and he has a mensch who knows call it a cool, and he has a mensch who's an evil.
Yeah.
He couldn't make himself like no shaita. But there was nothing that he did, like to impress you, or to make a kedusha, or to make like shtick, like a rev, by chassidim, like smell the kedusha. There was nothing like that, zero, nothing.
Just, on this vein, I just heard something that his shver said over from Beis Simcha, that he said on him that there was no such a head like that in 500 years.
Who said? Rabbi Zalman said on...
Rabbi said over on him, on the Edom.
On the Baron?
Yeah. So I heard from Meir Simcha that this is a cup from 500 years.
Who said Meir Simcha told us Rabbi Zalman?
Yeah.
Meir Simcha told Rabbi Zalman that your Edom has a cup like from 500 years.
Yeah.
Who
I heard this from two people. I heard from Rabbi Yerucham Olshin. He said it over. It's on a tape. And I just heard from somebody else. You don't know Baruch Be'yafi.
Yeah, yeah.
He mentioned it too. But you know exactly. I don't know because they say the Shver said it, but he said it over from Meir Simcha.
Meir Simcha told Rabbi Zalman.
Yeah, right.
About his
Edom. Yeah, that could be before he was his Edom.
Before he was his Edom.
Could be.
Uh-huh.
But that was the, because you said about Rav Kivi Eger.
Yeah, the cup will never, the Heimberg said is our cup of Kleisos and Litters came
with it. But Soloveitchik said the same thing.
Who?
Yashaber said the same thing at a convention, and Rabban was very upset about it. It's like.
Well, Yashaber said at a, which Yashaber, the why you were Yashaber?
Yeah, yeah. He said on him that he does the Rav Kivi Eger from Heinz.
That's what the Yeshiva said to Rabban?
Yeah.
And Rabban heard him was upset that he said that.
Yeah, right. That's what the Doyle said. I mean, they say it over.
It wasn't because the Fikre de Kreger.
Something like that. Like, not like, how could you say that? Yeah, right. He didn't, well, you know, he was upset.
I don't know. I never heard this myself.
Well, that's my to everybody.
But I know that Rav Yeshiver had tremendous affairs for Rabban.
I know.
Even though they were a different world,
right,
and Rabban used to rank them out to say that even though they worked together for Chinuch Atzmai,
mm-hmm.
And but I know because when I was a kid in RJJ, I used to go to Moriah Synagogue,
right,
on 91st Street,
yeah,
on Broadway, and here Rabbi Shabir give his Shabbos Hagadol Joshua and this Joshua, and he used to speak every Monday night,
yeah.
And I remember a few occasions. One occasion they were starting a campaign for Chinuch Atzmai,
yeah.
And Rabban had called him to help him in Chinuch Atzmai.
Right.
Now, Rav Yeshiver is a Briska and a Chvei. It's a different world. And Briska involved the whole world. And Rabban never a Briska Derech, Lamazogin, you know.
Yeah.
Just for starters. And Rabban, after he finished the Shia, Rav Yeshiver, remember as a kid, he said, Rabban called me Gerufin. And he spoke in Yiddish in Mariah.
Right.
And he said, Rabban called me Gerufin and Gebetin, as a result, helping Chinuch Atzmai. And he spoke for 5 minutes about Rabban. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I said to her parents, I said, listen, I said, as soon as the God la door, I couldn't believe it. Here's a should be talking.
Yeah.
I said, Barnes, the God la door, and it often helped him. And so the vision is, my son, never for here, had smoy, and ye did the first game, and then if like a sharp for here, and also, and he started speaking like I asked for a bar.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. And here they were, you know, Rabban was to write about a college, and Rabban wouldn't walk into YU.
Of course.
By Rav Moshe Shatskis' Levaya.
Yeah.
Rabban came to Levaya. Rav Moshe Shatskis was not a problem. But he stood, I remember it was a freezing cold day. It was like one of these winter days in February. And it was freezing, like a day, like it was 5 days below that. Rabban stood outside on the steps of YU and listened to the there was like a loudspeaker, and stood there shivering. I wouldn't walk into YU.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't walk into the building. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't walk into the building. But he went to Leviathan to Moshe Shatskis.
Mm-hmm.
He was, what did I tell you? You know, except that there were Gdailim and there were Shishivas. Rabban was in a class all by himself. There was nothing like him. There was nothing similar. Mm-hmm. He was a mention of the Abish to be a galost from the Muhammad of Sazam Malach, the Shtel of Ektar in the Welt.
Uh-huh.
And so then the British knew who to leave over, and they had come into a tray for your land and changed the entire world and made the Yeshivish a world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there I was there 90 days.
I see you got this message.
And from that I had thousands of mice that just from those 90 days.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you one quick mice. They can call me anytime you want, but I'm just
I have to get as much as I can when I get it.
You can call me anytime you want. What do you want to do? You want to put out a book?
No, wait, let me stop that. Go ahead.
You know, in those days, this was before the airplane people went to exotic places like Jamaica and then Rahman Lathan, the whole world goes to these unbelievable hotels.
Yeah.
So Lakewood was a resort area.
Right.
Some big hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And some big virim used to come to Lakewood for Pesach.
Right.
Now, one year, Rav Shapsi Frankel and Rav Ornstein, not Ornstein, I forgot his name, was a big Robin in Crown Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Not Ornstein, but sounds like Ornstein.
I don't know.
Shapsi Frankel and Konitzer. Konitzer was the son of the Krakow Rav.
Uh huh. Right. Right.
And those were like the elite of Crown Heights.
Right.
That was like Terebik Dula. Shapsi Frankel was a big time Machacha.
Right. He's on the Rambam.
And he was Terebik Dula. Machacha was also a big Zia, and Konitzer was a big Zia.
Right.
And the third one was a Rav, not Ornstein, but something like that. Lord Kamaswam. They came. They were staying in Alta. I think it was Laurel on the Pond, but I'm not sure. And they came to be Makabal Pnei Rabbah. They came to Rabaran.
Yeah.
One day, like Rabaran was in the middle of the Suda, because they knew Rabaran was Marach. It was like 1 o'clock, they had finished the Suda. And they came to be Makabal Pnei Rabbah, a miracle.
Yeah.
And they walked in, all three of them, Konitzer, Shapsi Frankel, and this Rav, who was their Rav. They davened in his shul in Crown Heights.
By the way, I don't think it was Laurel on the Pines, it was Trey Hotel.
So it couldn't have been long, so it must have been a different time.
Yeah, right. Could be Budner's or...
Budner's, yeah, they couldn't, yeah. Anyway, so they came in Chalabait, and they sat down, and we knew all three of them.
Yeah.
And then, Shamsi Franco started up, went up to Mishikas. He started up, he said to Abraham, he said, why do our children have to go to Brooklyn College, a Trefa place, a Trefa Chazavim, and he was ranking out the professors, McGate Borders, they come in half naked, the Trefa And what he was really saying was, he was saying 25 years, he was saying Turo, what Turo is today.
Uh-huh.
He was talking Turo.
Right.
Except it was 25 years before time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why can't we make a school with college and the teacher should be B'nai Torah?
Yeah.
And a Bacha, if he finishes learning,
yeah.
And he was trying to be nice Chaim
Barabas.
And he tried to like saying, why do you have to go off to Brooklyn College? And the teacher should be all B'nai Torah. And everybody was sitting in the room, saw Rabbi, a slow burn. And so Rabban's face getting redder and redder, and everybody, there was a Bacha was sitting there who didn't sort of be magish what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he let him finish.
Yeah.
Then he started screaming at him and pushing him with his hands, like you're talking to somebody, he started pushing him. And his face was red and his hands were flying. Shaked the jut, and he started calling him names. He's a Hashri Yid.
Yeah.
And he started telling him, oh, I know the other one was there. And he was also there. Avram, the father.
Uh-huh.
The alter president of Chaim Berlin.
Uh-huh.
He was the president of Chaim Berlin. Avram Fruchtel, the father. Mr. Fruchtel is also from the elite of Chaim,
yeah.
of Crown Heights.
Right.
He started screaming at them. And so I if a person would have walked in and saw Baron talking, they would have thought, here's an incoherent old man screaming. And he started talking and talking and talking and hacking at them and pushing them. And saying, for those of us come around, this can be come around, and something comes and terror, we come in and we can shout that outside for the other Sachen, who's face that couple, who's master sugar, no outside the game land in English, one of the university teachers and went on and on. And then he said, and he like started talking like, he didn't see one word comes to another. He said, Nay Israel, they love in college, some in college. And nobody, no one like came out of nowhere, this I didn't understand because he was screaming so loud. He says, I'm from the Rebbe. He says, I've met Unser Willi. Unser Willi means
Velvet
Pearl.
Yeah.
And I remember screaming, he says, I've met Unser Willi. He used to call him Willi.
Yeah.
So you see, so I've met Unser Willi.
Yeah.
He says, well, they for us. For the ganze Schiebnik, I can eight mentions in words design the Rebbe, but love in college.
Well, tell us, what did Willie Pearl have to do with college?
No, because they didn't have one person who was royal to be a Rebbe in Bnei Israel because they allow college. So they couldn't produce one Talmud Chacham that could give a beer market share that to come to Lakewood to get Willie Pearl.
Right. Oh, Willie Pearl was in Baltimore?
Willie Pearl was a Rebbe in Baltimore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we have Kuvanet Munzer Willie. Because they allowed college.
Uh-huh.
Then he went on and on. And he started talking about real discon and screaming. And they were sitting there like, mamas, they walked out like it's a club, the Huffy Rush.
Uh-huh.
And he kept on screaming, cursing them out. Because it was forget saying the Zog, Zog, see what's the gain in it. And on and on. It went on for about 20 minutes at the top of his lungs. Now, what Rosh Yeshiva, that I Baruch Shem HaBezach, to see a lot of Rosh Yeshiva, what Rosh Yeshiva would have done that? And they came with L'Shem Shemayim, they came with like, what they were really were saying, in the kids, they were saying Torah. That's what they were saying. They were saying 25 years before Torah. I firmly believe, I have no rise, I can't swear to say for them, but I firmly believe, if Rabban was alive, and would sing Torah, he would have told Torah and Chayim.
Well, they did make it home. It was a big protest against
it. Yeah, but then every yeshiva sends them off the tour.
They do?
Every yeshiva. Why don't they take college credits and every yeshiva, Mia, Chaim Berlin, Tarvatav, every yeshiva sends the tour. Because they'll forget, like these guys find it. Well, they have to go to Brooklyn College, they can finish in 2 years, and they'll give them college credits for their credit.
I have news for you. BMG gives college credits.
I know. And the guys from BMG, you go to Turo and use the college credits from BMG.
Yeah, well, they come, what do you call that thing?
And they become lawyers.
MSW.
Social workers.
Yeah, right.
So I'm saying, by me, I could swear and say, I have no rise, I can't prove it. If Ravon be allowed to take the whole tour of Zoram Chayim. Anyway, but I'll call upon him. But I'll never forget the Ashkofa it had on me, the effect it on me. Well, an Ish MS, this one, the thing I mentioned, the old man, Fruchtel, was an Ish. He was the right hand of Ravutna. And Konitzer and what's his name and what's his name and Shlomo Frankel and the fourth one, I can't think of his name, he was a very famous Rav from Chaim Berlin. From Nafelheim, from Crown Heights. He was on Garsha Rav Ornstein or I just can't think of him. He wrote Swarm and he just laced them out flat on the ground. Flat.
They couldn't lift the
They walked out. They were sorry to. They came to Gabo play Rabo Bregel. They just gave it to them. He saw as they were talking, as he was the Rosh Madabim, Shapsi Frankel.
Yeah.
And he
was. How old a person was he at that time?
Sometimes this was the second year of this, was 1960. Shapsi Frankel must have been. He was lifted recently. Shapsi Frankel was in his 80s. So 1960, 70, 80, 90, he must have been in his 50s. Late 40s, early 50s. Probably early 50s.
The Rabban was different than the whole world.
Yeah. He was called Oilem Eivahad, Ravon Avinu Meivahad.
Yeah, he was different type. I mean, he was different.
I don't know if you ever heard this, Meisa, but this I heard from a Kli Rishon. I heard this from Matri Yaffa.
Yeah, I know his son.
Yeah, but Matri Yaffa was very close to Rabban. He sent
him
to Kansas City. He was one of the first people to
come
to like Yeshiva in 1953. So anyway, I heard this from Matri Yaffa because Matri used to come to St. Louis to raise money for his yeshiva. Then he was a Muncie at a Kailo. And he stayed by me for Shabbos when he came to St. Louis. He once told me with Maisa that a Balabos came complaining about his son. And the Balabos came to a baron and said, Torah, Muhammad from Torah. That's, so I get up 5 o'clock in the morning to learn. I go to work. I come home from work. My son comes home late this morning. He doesn't open up a safe. He sits and watches television. And do Red's fake and Torah and Torah. He could go home once and open up a safe. And he comes in with my son Nefesh and he starts saying, what is my son? Let him go to college and become a shtickle man. First of all, land and stuff. I've been linked to the land. I can't see. He can't come in. I can't see. Pay this man and watch television and this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And Rabban heard him out. This heard from about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And Rabban looked him straight in the face. And there's not a person in the world that I ever knew that would have answered this person like this. Another person would have told him, no, it's Penis Manim, it's not Geschwach Penis Manim. He made this man a land say, good, or he would say, no, no. Or another one, she would say, no, no, I'm just on the game, it's a college fame of a.
Yeah, yeah.
Or another one would say, no, he said to Penis Manim. Rabban looked him in the face and said to him, Mahal Mitna Muhammad, in Muhammad, this Kobanis.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine this was an answer? There's not a person in the world that I could think could have answered that way. He didn't defend for the Jose, it's being as man. He said, we're in the middle of the Vistan, you wish the lane, he said to him. You thought the Vistan lane, as in Muhammad is on the Kobanis.
Yeah.
Every time for the Kobanis. Can you imagine such an answer?
Well, that's what he told the father?
Yeah. it's Mitzvah Gleiden. The Amitiskeit, the Emiskeit of this match. You know, the only person in the world who could answer like that is a person who is mamish believes, is maiming in his fingernails, in his bones, in his life. That nobody has the guts to answer such an answer. To answer such a straight answer, fucker. You're Mahatma Muhammad, and the Muhammad son of Kobanis.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an answer to say that to a balabos.
You don't know what the Balabas reaction was.
No, I don't know. But that's what I heard from Rabbi Yaffe. Right. I don't know if you ever heard that nice before, but that's an unbelievable story. Imagine like a guy could just, no, she would say, no, no, she's only against the Lavach. He would start talking about Benis Manim and the Sushman, and the Yenchman. And now Muhammad is from the Kobanis. I is over from the Kobanis.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. And it goes on and on. The mice is revived. I could, and I wasn't like the one, like, but I'll tell you, wherever I just spoke today, I just came back now. I spoke by David Licht, made a yeshiva here in Lakewood.
David
Licht. Yeah, his father was a Rebbe in RJJ. He was a Koletzka.
Oh, yeah. I just talked to somebody from his family in the Queens.
Yeah, Licht. And he, together with the Nuremberg, they ran a yeshiva together, the 9th and 10th grade. So they asked me to go speak at them and love him, Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
So I was saying, oh, mice is the barn. So I told him, wherever I go, wherever I speak, people ask me when I was 12 and a half years in Lakewood, when I was 12 years in London. So everybody thought in London, there's tell me what to speak to them. Maybe it's a climb in town with Rabaran in Lakewood. As an I used to say, nay, I never learned in Lakewood. And everywhere I went, people thought I learned in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, I meet a person, oh, you must have, what years did you learn in Lakewood? I said, I never was there to learn in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, because wherever I go, whenever the Seba is, whatever the Drush is, whatever, it's all, most of it's a Mishnah Sobaron,
uh-huh.
Which should be the handy book of the American Bentara.
Mm-hmm.
The Mishnah Sobaron, it should be. And I'd say, for my son, well, Gagabaron, so I think I learned in Lakewood. I never was there to learn in Lakewood. I was going to be in 90 days, 30.
In 90 days, you could get a lot.
Oh, but I didn't take my eyes off him. I watched him. I just sat and gazed at him. Watched the way he ate, watched the way he walked, watched the way he went upstairs to his room. I was mesmerized by him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like in a trance by him. I just sat and you know, people say, you know, the pictures are off. You know, you take pictures today and you fix them up and you tint them with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sobhan's eyes look like he could light a cigarette on them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know something? It's true. The picture's not played with. It's not taken, the picture. He really looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could be made. His eyes really look like the pictures. They didn't play around that picture. You could go over to the eyes and light a cigarette with them.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were like, I was there to see Rosh Shach. I went to Rosh Shach for, I saw Shach twice in my life.
Yeah.
I was there to see the stipe there. I thought it was a Malach Hakim, the stipe.
Did you ever see Vachatsko?
Yes, I saw Bchatsko.
It was Mamalach?
I saw Bchatsko in 1977, my first year in Eretz Israel. I spoke to him for about a minute and a half. I saw Bchatsko. I went to Ponovich for...
Did you get the same message from him?
Bchatsko just said to me, where's that dear? And I said to him, my name is Yitzhak Klein. He's a good fight. So who's that dear? He's a woman from America. He's one of the Mia. It's good, fine, Zaymik is in Koltuf.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. They have nothing else to say to me. Because Bchatsko held that America's a man, so Chalas Yeshua.
Yeah.
He helped very, he's an American Eagle man, like niggas in Kotov. Even though I told him to me, I told him Shubham was my Rebbe, or Shubham was very close to him in Shanghai.
Yeah.
But he gave me like 20 seconds, looked at me, because for America, Zion niggas in Kotov. He held America's a trade for land.
Well, when I was in Ponovich for one day, and I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
I was sitting there with a friend of mine in the morning, it was Shabbos morning, and this man was walking around the room, looking around. He gave me a look.
Yeah.
And then he went away, so I asked somebody, who was that man? He said, that was Chasko. That's what Chasko did. That wasn't a man, that was a Malach.
Yeah.
So that's what he gave me that impression.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, when you're talking about Mashiach, I never saw Rav Aaron close, so I don't...
No, but Rav Aaron had different tzura. I mean, I just always Grace mentioned the stipend was a god and was a malach.
Yeah.
Of Shach, nobody ever looked like Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron's face had a different look, had a different tzura. It looked like Rav Aaron, like, I mentioned a leopard, think a safer term?
See, one point that you brought out, I heard even from Rabbi Jacobs and others, that...
What, you heard from who?
Rabbi Jacobs. Yeah, you heard of Jacobs.
Yeah, the Mashkei, yeah.
He said... I'm trying to paraphrase exactly what he said was this. He said Rav Aaron could span a tremendous, I'm an engineer, so I'll use a dynamic range. Anyways, he could be Beruma Shel Olam, and at the same time, he could relate to some very partial person, and he understands everybody in between.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he could do it in a second. Like, for once, he was never out. He was in and out of this world all the time.
Right, absolutely.
That's the picture
saying.
I got.
He was like a malach hakim, and he was like the most normal mensch,
right.
Merdically normal mensch. And the proof in the pudding is he changed the whole world. He took people with young Yisrael Balabatim.
Mm-hmm.
Irving Bunim had at his wedding mixed dancing,
mm-hmm.
like anybody in those days.
Yeah.
And Irving Bunim, after Rav Aaron got a hold of him and called him Mein Irving, he used to call Mein Irving.
Yeah.
To him, made him into a Rizdik of Bentura who spoke against college, and he was Rav Aaron's right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
And Irving Bunim was a push to young Yisrael Balabas,
mm-hmm.
that Rav Aaron twisted and turned him and turned him upside down and was able to relate to him and took him to Washington for Vada Tzola,
mm-hmm.
and helped build Lakewood. And there were many Balabatim that Rav Aaron related to Ludwig Jesselson, Yekesha Balabas,
mm-hmm.
and these type of Balabatim, Bendheim, Zigfried, mm-hmm. Bendheim from the Manhattan. And Rav Aaron was able to talk to them and relate to them and scream at them and not chalifa them. Irving Bunim was an unbelievable story. What Rav Aaron made of Irving Bunim is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
He took a push at the American Balabas with a cigar, and from Manhattan, from the ladies, from the, you know, from the Grauman Street neighborhood, and turned them into a rhythmic Ventura. Mm-hmm. And Irving Bunim was not a mention like yeshivas or nothing, and you guess your Balabas. So what Judah Jacobs told you is 100% evidence. It's like that. Rav Aaron had the kayach of a every greiser mensch who's gold grace, who's big, has that kayach. The Chofetz Chaim, they said, had that kayach.
Mm-hmm.
Chofetz Chaim was a malach, and you could see a balabas from America who came to Rav Aaron to see him and could able to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And write it safe and what somebody should do on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Every person who's very, very, very big of the biggest, seems to have that kayach.
See, we didn't see, we